Mail's here.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?
Noper, this is too wretched. That's right, Noper. Too wretched for radio. I don't know who says that in what state, but somebody does, I guarantee you. It's a Too Wretched for Radio. Phil Johnson, guess what I hold in my never nicotine-stained fingers?
It looks like email. I can't wait.
It is. The mail is here, and it's not even damaged or thrown in anger. Did I tell you about the mailman who was picking up some of our stuff?
No.
And he was launching it like a Northwest Airline luggage guy, throwing it into the back of his truck. And Al, who's like the sweetest guy on the planet, just went, excuse me, how can we help you today? Because the guy was clearly furious and, you know, what's wrong? Want to come in for a cup of tea or a cupper, as I believe they say in England. He was just crabby, launching the packages.
You should have videotaped him and sent it in. I did that once. I was in the Minneapolis airport and was watching the baggage guys load the stuff on my flight.
Northwest Airlines, and I'm telling you.
I think it was Delta. I can't remember, but it was...
No, it was Northwest. Just go with it, because they were notorious for it. There was a news story done on that. It was breaking national news.
Yeah, well, I took
just
video.
Launching them.
I took video. They were throwing them up on the belt, and then they were rolling off the belt and hitting the ground from about 12 feet high. Fortunately, they got my bag without having it fall on the ground, but I watched them do that. I took a video and I sent it in to the airline, and they sent me an abject apology and assured me that this never happens usually, but these guys will be talked to and whatever.
We used to live in the Twin Cities, and Northwest Airlines was the carrier. That was their hub. They were right down the street from our home. And they were a union shop, Phil. And I'm telling you, you went to fly Northwest and you put on your battle gear. You put on your flak jacket. You just get ready because you are entering into a war zone. Delta buys them. I could be wrong in my assessment. I just don't think I am. They're a non-union shop. They bought Northwest, and the non-union attitude of Delta was shocking to me, the difference in the attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Delta is a phenomenal airline, and I can't help but think the difference is union, non-union.
Yeah.
How many angry emails do you think I'm going to get for that comment?
You'll get some. You will definitely get some.
Okay. Yep. All righty. I'm not saying. And by the way, Phil wasn't saying that everybody who works at the airlines is a luggage thrower. So I'll try to spare you that one, Phil. Let's get to the emails, shall we? Phil, I was wondering if you could address the ministry and teachings of K.P. Yohanan. I like his preaching, but there's some scandal that's been associated, controversing regarding gospel for Asia. Also, is the Believer's Church a sound church? Looks Catholic to me. That was from Gabe. What say you, sir?
Yeah, I agree. I'd be a little wary of him. Now, my first introduction to K.P. Yohanan was back in the 1980s. And I can't remember the title of his book, but he wrote one that was actually quite a good book. It had some of the same themes that John MacArthur dealt with in The Gospel According to Jesus. And I thought, this is good. This is articulate, clear, and all of that. But I've not been able to keep touch with K.P. Yohanan over the years. And the scandal over, I think it was financial issues in his ministry, broke about, what was it, 2-3 years ago. I haven't followed it carefully, but the news items I read definitely gave me concern. Assuming everything they reported was correct, I think it's
there's
right
better
to be
options.
Yeah, yep.
All righty then. Phil, I know it is wrong for a Christian to attend a homosexual wedding, but is it wrong for first of all, do you agree with that statement? It is wrong for a Christian to attend a homosexual wedding.
I don't know that I would make it a blanket statement. I think there are circumstances. Yeah, well, for the sake of argument, let's go with that. Yeah, under most circumstances, I would definitely refuse to attend a homosexual wedding.
Okay, but as a pastor, if somebody in your congregation went to a gay wedding, it's their son, their daughter, what have you.
Yeah, we wouldn't discipline them for that. And in fact, you really nail the issue that makes me not want to draw a hard line. What if it's your own child? What if it's your own relative? Where do you draw the line between disapproving of what they're doing and actually being a parent or whatever? You cannot show them approval, but you don't necessarily want to sever the parental relationship over, you know, the first appearance of sin like that. It's a difficult issue for when it comes to relatives.
All right, so okay, let me share with you a scenario that we tackled. Actually, it's come up a number of times on Wretched Radio. The mom, the dad, whose child comes out of the closet, and now they announce that they are a practicing homosexual, and they've got a boyfriend, a girlfriend, and they want to come over with the boyfriend or girlfriend. Phil, what would you say to those parents?
Are they coming over for a visit, or are they coming over to spend the night and engage in...
Let's start with a visit. They're coming over for Thanksgiving meal. That's it.
I would definitely, if I'm the parent or a close relative, I definitely would want them there. It's an opportunity to put on display the fruit of the Spirit in front of them and seek an opportunity to give them the gospel.
I think to keep the relationship intact, too.
Right. The fact that you've invited them as guests to Thanksgiving dinner or whatever, it in no way compromises your faith. Jesus ate with Pharisees. He ate with sinners so much that they called him friend of sinners. And I don't think that's a negative thing. If people called me that, I wouldn't shy away from it any more than Jesus did.
The boy, the girl, they're going to stay over, sleep over. What would you say to that parent?
If you sleep in separate rooms, okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But so you would let them sleep over, just not together.
Right. I wouldn't want to countenance what they know, I believe, is a gross sin.
All right.
Let me back up, too. That's not true only for because they're homosexuals. If it was a heterosexual.
Heterosexual just wanted to sleep together. Of course. Right. Exactly. All right.
And I would hope that by the time any of my children got to be college age and even contemplated something like that, they would know me well enough not to even ask if they could use one of the bedrooms in my house to engage in sin.
But if you don't let me, Dad, I'm out of your life.
Yeah, I would deal with that like I would deal with any deliberate, hardcore sin like that and just say, I can't yield my faithfulness to Christ over this. I still love you. But I'm not going to countenance your sin, and I'm not going to look the other way while I know you're doing it. If you think that's a way to get my approval, it's not going to work. And if you're threatening to sever your relationship with me, that's your choice. That's not my choice. I love you, and you're welcome here anytime you want, just not for the purposes of sinning.
Do you realize what this means for you, Phil Johnson?
No.
You cannot, in good conscience, play Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Phil, I know it's wrong for a Christian to attend a homosexual wedding, but is it wrong for a Christian to attend the wedding of someone who is divorced without biblical grounds? Ha! There's a conundrum for you.
See, I think it's exactly the same issue. It is exactly the same issue. Would you attend a wedding that you did not approve of? And my answer to that is it depends on the circumstances and the relationship we're talking about and the nature of, you know, what they're doing and why. If, you know, a homosexual couple is wanting to have a flamboyant wedding to celebrate their coming out, their gayness or whatever, I couldn't participate in the celebration.
All right. Just to demonstrate the type of conundrum that a pastor has to deal with on a regular basis. Is it possible? Let's go to the divorced without biblical grounds. Here's one scenario. You've been going to the church with this man, this woman for a long time, and recently divorced his or her spouse without biblical grounds, and now it's 6 months later, wants to get married to somebody. That's scenario A, okay?
All right.
Versus scenario B. Your friend at church was divorced 30 years ago, unbiblical grounds, and the other spouse is now married with children and grandchildren. And now your friend wants to get married. That's scenario B. Is there a difference in the two, and would that make a difference in whether you attend the wedding or not?
There's not a huge difference. If the person is not doesn't qualify to remarry, the divorce wasn't on biblical grounds, and therefore they're really not free to remarry, then I don't see any difference. Any significant difference?
But there could be reconciliation and restoration in scenario A, but not in scenario B. Would that make a difference?
Maybe. Boy, I'd have to think it through. You're throwing a lot of complex moral questions
but
at though, me.
But these aren't crazy scenarios.
No, they're
not.
This type
of thing, and more complex, goes on all the time.
See, the thing is, for me, mostly what I would have to face is the question, will you marry us? Will you officiate the ceremony? And my answer to that is emphatically not. If your marriage itself is on unbiblical grounds, then I certainly can't officiate, you know. If you're a close relative of mine, I might come and stand and watch just so that you don't feel I'm anathematizing you. I mean, if you're an unbeliever. Now, if this is a believer who's deliberately sinning against God, that's a whole different level of complexity. And no, I wouldn't attend a wedding like that.
So maybe, just maybe, this is a reminder to pray for your pastor who needs the wisdom of Solomon in these scenarios. And look... See, with one of the reasons that I think we should be encouraged that the Bible is true is because the Bible doesn't give hard and fast rules for every scenario. You know, they've got complexities to them and nuances to them.
Yeah.
And God files a fair amount of these things under the Romans 14 banner of adiaphoron, that it's their disputable dispensations. Different Christians might come to a different conclusion, and we should have a little grace for one another in that, because these things aren't easy. All right, ready for the next one?
Yes.
This is from Shelby, a little concerned about pragmatism in the church, and maybe you will refer Shelby to our 4th of July broadcast, but the concern is theme services like Senior Adult Day, Youth Sunday, and High Attendance Sunday being used to get people to come into the church. Should Shelby be concerned this is going on in the church?
I mean, sure. I don't approve of those things. Let's say it like that. Would that be enough for me to... I mean, when you say, should he be concerned, is he thinking about leaving the church over that? Because I would say that none of those things would be sufficient to provoke me to create a division in the church or leave the church just because I didn't agree with their ministry philosophy. As long as the word is being preached and the gospel's being preached, there are always things done in churches that I don't particularly like. And sometimes you just have to sit through those things, and because they are matters of preference rather than clear-cut biblical issues.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me give you then some other scenarios, because these issues become very... What always makes these issues hard, Phil, is that it's easy to give advice from afar. Oh, that's going on. Oh, this is what I would do. Well, it's a whole lot different when you're in the church.
Yep.
You have a bunch of friends. You're related to them. You have been generational in
right.
attendance there.
And even Shelby's question, a lot of how I might counsel him, what to do, how big of an issue is this? What should you do about it? The fact that you disagree, it concerns you, troubles your conscience. Should you go and speak to your pastor? Should you consider changing churches? A lot of my answers would require me to ask him a whole host of questions. What other churches are in your area? Is there a church that doesn't do those things where the gospel is preached? It wouldn't bother your conscience. You know, do you need to make an issue of this? It's not such a cut and dried question that I can give him an answer based on.
It questions also like, all right, what is your role of authority in the church? Do you have any ability to change the church?
Yep.
How long have you been going? Are you an actual member in the church? All of those things.
Yeah.
Phil, do you think this is good advice? Somebody's wrestling with whether or not they should leave their church. They have an option. They went to founders.org. They use the church search engine, buried inconveniently at the bottom of the page. Please let Tom Askell know that he's really got that in a terrific place, because it's almost impossible to find. It's not that I'm complaining, but I like founders.org to find a good church. It's no guarantee, but it's one of the better sites that I've found for finding a good church. This person who's disgruntled for whatever reason, concerned about an issue at their church, would it be wise, perhaps, to find a good biblical church in your town. Go visit with that pastor to say, I've got a scenario. Here it is at my church. How would you counsel me? Would that be a good idea or not, Phil?
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. It's certainly not a bad idea. I'm not in favor
well,
of...
thank you.
I'm not in favor of easy church hopping. I get concerned about people who start thinking about leaving a church over the first, you know, hit glimmer of disagreement. I would definitely try to deal with the issue without leaving the church before I would, you know, jump across town to another church. It seems to me that people who do that easily tend to do it, you know, serially.
Consistently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, going back to, I understand when somebody's really connected to a church and they hear advice from afar, it's like easy for us to say. I think we all need to remember that. Because you and I, for instance, let's say that our rule is, look, don't you be a church shopper and hopper. You make it through the choppy waters, try to endure, have some influence, live through it, what have you. Yeah, but they're playing Hillsong in my church. You see, it's always my issue is far more extreme than anybody else's issue because it's so personal and difficult. And that's why having wise counsel from somebody who's maybe a little bit more objective might be helpful. Speaking of which, let me share with you a list of other issues. Would you be considering leaving your church over they're playing Hillsong in my church? Would that cause you to skedaddle?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. Liturgy. We used to have a nice, lofty liturgy. Now it's gotten really casual. Do I go?
No, not necessarily. Again,
pastor used to wear a suit and tie. Now he's in skinny jeans. Do I go?
Nope. You don't. I mean, you don't leave.
Skinny jeans? Phil, skinny jeans. Come on.
Yeah, really? None of those are issues worth, you know, just picking up and leaving over. Those are things that maybe you can address with the pastor or whatever, but... No, there are no cardinal issues at stake there. Take the Hillsong music, for example. If they're teaching Hillsong's theology alongside that, then, yeah, I'd pick up and leave. But, you know, it's not every Hillsong song is loaded with bad doctrine. Some of them are based on biblical words. I try to stay away from Hillsong music just because I don't want to point anybody towards that organization and the doctrine
and
they
give
teach.
It some sort of stamp of approval or affirmation by singing it
right.
in the church.
But the fact that you sing one of their songs doesn't prove that you're a heretic worthy of condemnation. I think there are a lot of people who are just too quick to pull the trigger on stuff like that, when it would be better to speak up, say something, try to make an influence.
Let's just say you do that. Hey, pastor, I don't know if you realize this, but that's a Hillsong. This is what Hillsong's theology is. This is what they do. These are their associations. And the pastor goes, yeah, I just don't see the connection. I don't think it's a concern. Would you leave then?
I probably wouldn't. I might stand mute while they're singing the Hillsong songs on Sunday.
Oh, I definitely would.
But unless there was... but unless
and
there was...
I'd look around for the other people who aren't singing to know you and I are saved.
Right.
If there... The people who are singing aren't, but you and I are.
But unless there's some other issue that creates concern, that complicates that, that's certainly not a sufficient reason to leave a church over.
All right. Let me give you an opportunity to recant. The pastor is now wearing skinny jeans. Are you sure that you're going to hold to this? You're not going to leave the church business?
Nope. Wouldn't leave over that. I might make fun of his skinny jeans, but I do it privately with him. I wouldn't, if it's my church and my pastor, I'm not going to make fun of him on Twitter.
Phil, have I ever told you how skinny my legs are?
I've seen how skinny your legs are.
They are so skinny. I tried on a pair of those skinny jeans.
Uh-huh.
They looked like bell bottoms. I'm telling you.
I have the opposite problem. Any pair of jeans I wear looks like skinny jeans.
I was taken to the Gap. They were having the half off sale, and it was a half off of the clearance. So I didn't even look at it. I just go to the clearance rack, and they had their pants on sale and then 50% off. So like the pair of pants was going to be like $12 or something. And I didn't know what the they're straight, they're regular, whatever it was. So I grab all the same size and I bring them into the dressing room. And one of them was the skinny jeans. I don't know why even a teenager in his right mind would want to put those pants on.
Yeah, they're not comfortable.
You ever trying a pair of skinny pants like that?
No, I wouldn't even try them on deliberately. But like I said,
I didn't know what I was dealing with. Let me tell you, those are some skinny pants. Are you sure a pastor who wears skinny jeans is not reason enough to leave a church? This is your third and last chance.
I wouldn't leave the church over that, but I would definitely, right. It would become fodder for a lot of jokes.
I do not like the way my congregation is spending the funds. It's on a ministry opportunity. It is on a building program. It is sending money to a particular minute. I don't like the way the church is spending money. Is that reason to leave?
No, in fact, that's a bad attitude to have. If you can't support the leadership of your church who are making those decisions, unless it's a clear-cut issue of sin, if they're like, you know, funneling money under the table to some mafioso, you know, to do the building or bypass the building. But if there's no sin involved in it, then, and you simply disagree on how they're spending the money, that is definitely... it's wrong to have a bad attitude about that.
All righty. Next issue, would you consider leaving your church if one day it was announced, we have just called an associate pastor. We look forward to welcoming Glenda Brzezinski. Is that a reason to leave the church?
Maybe. I mean, that's pretty far down the road, you know, disobeying what Scripture says about who should have the leadership in the church. Who's qualified to be in an elder or be in an elder's position?
No, it wasn't about her being a woman. It's the last name Brzezinski. Would that be a reason to leave the church?
No, that wouldn't. But the fact that she's a woman serving in a role that Scripture assigns to men would be a huge concern, because that doesn't just happen accidentally. That is a church that has willfully decided to go against the clear teaching of Scripture and maybe reinterpret Scripture in a way that fits their own politically correct wishes. But yeah, that's a more serious problem than any of these.
All right. So maybe address it, bring it up, see where they're at with it. Have they considered that?
Right.
They studied the issue and then make a decision.
Even in that case, I wouldn't just pick up and leave. I would definitely try to address it with the leadership before I would pick up and leave. But
when the announcement was made, it would be reasonable for the believer to squirm in such an aggressive manner that everybody knows you're displeased with it, correct?
Yeah, I'd probably do more than squirm if I were there, depending on the size of the church.
You could make noises.
Depending on the size of the church, my hand might go up in the air like, hey, question here.
Did you say Glenda Brzezinski? did I catch that right? All right, two more emails to go. Here we go, Phil. Phil, I have work colleagues of other faiths. Would it be appropriate for me to wish them Eid Mubarak or say Happy Diwali on their respective days of celebration? I'm concerned others might think I'm legitimizing their faith. I heard from somebody else recently, Phil, who said that they were finishing up their fast, the Ramadan fast, and they offered them a piece of celebratory cake. Should they consume the cake? Kind of similar issues. What say you?
Yeah, I say why not? It's you're not affirming their false beliefs by doing that. You're simply recognizing that they believe differently than you, and you're honoring them. I don't see why that's a conflict. You don't have to make an issue over your differing beliefs every time any kind of ancillary subject comes up.
Mm-hmm. Now, the reason that I'm inclined to agree with you is because there's something I have to confess. I don't know what it is inside of me, but saying, you know, the idea of saying Happy Diwali, which is kind of amusing to say.
Yeah.
But
fun.
Saying it, it kind of rankles me. But if I were to meet a Jewish person and say, you know, hey, have a great Hanukkah, that doesn't bother me.
No, nor should it. And in fact, it's ironic that I think a lot of the Christians who might make an issue out of that would also be miffed if the pagan clerk at the department store said Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. We expect people to recognize our beliefs in their greetings and good wishes. Why wouldn't we do that with others?
Or we'll boycott them in Christian love, of course. You know, Phil, however, there might be some scenarios where it's not appropriate to do that. I was on the streets of Atlanta we were right by Georgia State University in downtown, and I was talking to a Hare Krishna, and the Hare Krishnas believe if you just say Hare Krishna, that's somehow earning favor with the deity,
right,
because
yep.
it's a mystical bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. So when it was all done, this fellow who said, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm pretty much anything and everything, he said, Hare Krishna, like expecting me then to respond, Phil, I couldn't do it. And then he said, and God bless you. And I couldn't respond to him. I found myself at an awkward spot.
Really? See, I would have responded this way, especially after a discussion like that, where he's trying to tell you that he can believe all these things, and you've had this discussion. If he said to me, Hare Krishna, I would say, Jesus is Lord. I would say it with a smile, you know. It's not like I'm trying to pick a fight with him, but, you know.
Now you make me feel bad for not being very nimble on my feet. Last email, Phil. Would you please comment on the story that broke in the Houston, whatever the Houston newspaper was, that the sexual abuse cases inside of the Southern Baptist Convention? It looks like there was a second addition to that. So about 300 individuals were identified over the last maybe 20 or 30 years in the Southern Baptist Convention that had legal issues and action taken against them. What's your take on this inside of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, I think it's deplorable when any church leader is guilty of a sin like that, that the tendency, it seems too much. And I don't want to pick on the Southern Baptists here, because I think typically religious hierarchies have this tendency to sort of knee-jerk disbelieve accusations like that. And it's no better to automatically reject the accusation of someone who claims to be abused than it is to automatically believe that. We're forbidden by Scripture to automatically, you know, take that as fact. When an elder is accused or a church leader is accused, Scripture says it needs to be two or three witnesses. But it's just as bad, I think, to automatically dismiss that. When someone makes an accusation like that, it needs to be carefully investigated. And I think that's where they've singled out the Southern Baptists, but I think this is undoubtedly true in fundamentalist churches, independent churches.
Do you think the SBC, if you will, the sex scandal, do you think it's comparable to what we've been seeing in the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, in my judgment, no. I mean, just by sheer numbers, the number of Southern Baptists and the number of Southern Baptist leaders who've, you know, been accused of these things, it's not really in the same ballpark as I see it.
Wicked and awful, but not to the same degree as the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to minimize the evil
that's
of it
right.
and say, well, right. it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal even if that happens once. And someone who betrays his fidelity to Christ to that point where he sexually abuses a child or anyone needs to be dismissed from the ministry forever, and the church ought to deal with that harshly. It was the same scripture that says you don't receive an accusation against an elder without two or three witnesses, also says that if an elder sins, he needs to be rebuked before all. You don't cover these things up. You deal with it, if anything, in an extra aggressive way, because this guy not only sinned against Christ and sinned against the person he abused, he has sinned against the church, and the church needs to be made aware of it. And so I think the problem here is that sort of reflexive action that so many people have to try to cover these things rather than say, yeah, let's investigate this. Let's let the truth come out.
Phil, I am actually willing, because I believe this issue is so urgent and so important, I am actually going to break the promise that I just made. I'm going to ask you for the last time, are you sure somebody shouldn't leave a church if the pastor's wearing skinny jeans?
Well, let me think about it, okay?
Good, we've made progress.
Philosophy, a hardbound collection of all the life lessons I've learned.
God is not a Gumby action figure that you can shape any way you want.
Phil, have you gone mental?
Act like men, not like girls.
I've got a real clear message for the two of you on that. Stop doing it.
How about we agree to argue until one of us actually refutes the other?
Are you kidding me?